Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, my spookies. Before we start the show, I want to give you a quick update about my dog Chicano's cancer treatment and the fundraising we're doing for it. He has just received his third dose of chemo out of 8. He's doing very well, and we've raised 22% of the funds to pay for his chemotherapy and all of his other veterinary expenses. And if you want to help, any amount means the world to me. Just go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Help My Dog. That's weeklyspooky.com and click on Help My Dog, sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all so much for the help. And now, let's get on with the fun stuff. Motels are a place to go, to have a home away from home, a place to lay your head and relax as you're traveling across the dark highways. But what happens when your neighbors are not only rude, obnoxious, or inconsiderate, but also deadly?
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. Experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen as in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my spookies. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Enrique Couto, and tonight we have a real baller episode, if I do say so myself. It's by Shane Migliavacca. He wrote the first episode of Weekly Spooky ever, and I'm going to tell you right now, he does not disappoint with this story. But before we get to that, I just want to say simply, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And if I could ask a small favor of you, make sure you're subscribed to this show on your favorite podcasting app because we have so much content coming. And while you're at it, why not give us a rating of 5 stars on your favorite podcasting app as well? Because not only does it cost you nothing, but it helps others discover the show. And if you know anybody who loves the spookier side of life, tell them to come and listen. Because as you know, the more, the scarier. Now, before we get to the story, though, I want to also mention we have some good friends out there who do lots of interesting things. We have lots of artists who listen, lots of writers, and I try my best to support the endeavors of our listeners. Well, one of our listeners actually owns a bobblehead company. Yeah. It's called Bobbletopia.com, and if you go to Bobbletopia.com and use the promo code WEEKLYSPOOKY at checkout, you get 10% off. They have all kinds of cool horror-themed bobbleheads, whether it's from movies, television, or literary. Things like Krampus, Freddy Krueger, and the like, so I just wanted to mention that. Check them out. They're really awesome. And if you use my code, you're supporting the show, and we sure do appreciate it. Beyond that, you can go to weeklyspooky.com and learn about our Patreon, but I'm sorry, we don't have any more time for plugs because the spooky is about to come right after these quick words from our sponsors.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Incident at Isotope Inn by Shane Migliavacca. You could disappear out here, Jane Whitman thought, which was exactly what she wanted to do. Disappear from the world. The endless emptiness of the desert stretched out on either side of the car. Jane felt the weight of the snub-nosed .38 against her leg. She'd better hide the gun before she forgot it was there again. Can't let somebody see it. They might get the wrong idea. But what was the right idea? He'd given it to you. Alan, your husband. Late husband. For those long nights when he was away. Protection. Couldn't be too careful nowadays. Alan had been a truck driver. One night, he'd been on a long run when the girl's car had jumped the line. The girl had died. Alan was paralyzed. Alan always blamed himself. Blamed himself for not reacting faster. He'd wasted away in that bed until... Jane trembled at the rush of memories. Her eyes started to tear up, making it hard to see the road. Shit, she said, wiping the tears from her eyes. Stop thinking about it, she ordered herself. Her vision was clearing when something darted across the road in front of her car, causing Jane to slam on the brakes. The car skidded to a stop, going off the road. Jane avoided nearly hitting a large metal fence. Fuck! She gasped, her heart beating like crazy. She stared up at the sign. Black Ridge. Trespassers will be met with lethal force. Jane felt a shiver run down her spine. She got out of the car to check for damage when the hair on the back of her neck stood up. Jane turned, catching a glimpse of something out of the corner of her eye. There was a large, hitherto unrevealed crack in the road. Then, the ringing started filling the world with its steady drone, calling to her with a song only she could hear from the desert behind the fence she had so narrowly avoided hitting with her car. Carly Allen flicked a pebble. Another day, another dollar in good old Frozen, Arizona. Whoever came up with that name for the town was a real wise ass, thought Carly. She tapped her black boots on the metal of the rusty lawn chair she slouched in. She noticed a rip in her black fishnets. Oh well. At this point, she was bored beyond caring. An open sketchbook rested on a rusty barrel next to her. A half-finished charcoal landscape spread out on the page. Her friend, Todd Torrivio, sat on a stack of crates, thumbing through an old joke book. He'd been her friend since middle school, and his parents owned the Isotope Inn, which they currently had their collected asses parked in front of. Thunder rumbled in the distance. This one is perfect, Todd exclaimed. Why can't you trust an atom? He paused, waiting for Carly to respond. She shrugged. Fuck if I know. Because they make up everything. She leaned back in the chair, groaning in pain. Oh, dude, not cool. Lightning flashed in the sky, followed by a burst of thunder. It was getting closer. What do you call a belt made of watches? I'm going to burn that book. Wish I'd never found the damn thing. Carly thumped her head against the back of her chair. Any guests left? Carly asked. Just that old couple, the McNabs. The old man is a bit of a grouch. Lucky you. Thunder rumbled across the sky. Gonna pour soon, Carly observed. They grabbed their stuff and went inside. They crashed in reception. Todd sat at the desk. An old hunting rifle hung on the wall behind him. Carly pursued a rack of bags of potato chips and candy. A TV fixed to the wall droned on, the reception periodically destroyed by the approaching storm.
Daring daylight jailbreak, notorious bank robber escapes.
The rain started coming down outside. Carly watched the downpour, lost in thought as Todd told her another joke. Aren't you glad you didn't say, "Holy shit!" Carly exclaimed as a car raced through the rain into the motel parking lot. Jane barely made it into the parking lot without an accident. Shutting off the car, she rested her head on the steering wheel. She regained her composure and hurried inside the Isotope Inn. Inside, a punky-looking girl and a dark-haired boy gawked at her as she shook off some of the rain. "I'd like a room." "Sure," the boy answered. $45 for the night, cables included. She pulled out a 50 and slid it across the counter. "Keep the change." The boy looked surprised. "Mighty kind of you." "Quite a storm out there," the girl said. "Yeah, quite." Jane saw the rack of goods against the wall. "You guys sell any aspirin and maybe some cigarettes?" "Just what's there," the boy said. "But I'm sure the folks have some aspirin. I can snag you a few." Jane smiled. "Thanks, Todd," the boy said before going into the office behind the desk. The girl spoke in a hushed voice. "I can get you a couple of smokes if..." She saw Todd coming back and stopped. "Here you go." Todd held out a bottle of aspirin. "You ain't gonna like OD on him or anything, are ya?" Jane laughed. "No, I only need a couple and maybe a soda. There's a machine near your room." "I can show her," the girl offered. "Cool," Todd said, tossing the room key to the girl. Outside, the heavy downpour had turned into a mild one as Jane followed the girl to the soda machine. "Here you go," the girl said. "It's got all the greats. Cola Cola, Dr. Cherry, Mountain Citrus, Orange / Grape." Jane made a face. "Mountain Citrus is pretty good, actually." Jane counted out some change. "Before your boyfriend came back, you mentioned getting a couple of cigarettes?" The girl looked at Jane, shocked. "Boyfriend? Me and Todd are just best buds. He's like a brother." "Sorry, didn't mean to offend." "No big deal," the girl said, slipping a couple of cigarettes out of her beat-up army jacket. "We used to get teased about it in high school." She handed them to Jane along with a lighter. "Thanks. Just don't let Todd know. If he found out I was smoking, he'd freak." Jane lit one of the cigarettes, handing the lighter to the girl. "Thanks. I'm Carly, by the way." They stood watching the downpour for a moment, neither of them talking. "I have a question," Jane spoke up. "What's up with the motel's name? Somebody lose a bet?" Carly laughed. "Back in the old days, the 50s, I think, the government used to do nuclear testing out there." She pointed towards the desert. There was some talk of a base out under Black Ridge. Black Ridge. Jane suddenly felt lightheaded. You okay? Carly asked. Yeah, just need a good sleep. Jane lay propped up by pillows on the bed, flipping through the cable channels, only paying half attention. A cigarette dangled from her lips. Black Ridge. Out there in the desert. The channels flipped by faster and faster on the TV. Moving on up. It began with a closed, deserted diner. News at 11. A shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Jane felt her head grow heavy. The remote slipped from her hand as the TV screen hissed with static. Her sleep-glazed eyes strained as light filled the dingy room. At the light's center was the outline of a person. A crimson-clad hand reached out of the light towards Jane as mechanical screeching grew louder and louder. Jane's eyes snapped open. She sat up in bed. Thunder crashed outside. The storm was back. Jane lay back on the bed, listening to the steady downpour of rain outside. That Black Ridge place, ever since seeing that damn name on the fence, something had been off. Jane could feel the headache coming back full force. She got dressed again, as much as she hated to. Maybe she could bum a couple more aspirin off that kid. Two weren't doing the trick. She hurried out the door, into the rain. Halfway to the office, Jane remembered something. The gun! Fuck! Was it still sitting there on the passenger side? First the aspirin, then the gun. In the reception area, a stocky-looking older man in shorts was bitching at Todd. A woman in glasses stood next to the man. "It's leaking in the bathroom," the old man complained. "I'm sorry, sir, I'll get someone to look at it tomorrow." "Tomorrow?" the old man grumbled. "What about tonight?" "I can give you a bucket." "Unbelievable! A bucket! A bucket! Boy, I ought to kick your Harold," the old woman scolded. "Damn it, Margie, shush!" Harold shouted. Jane rubbed her forehead. Maybe she should have gotten the gun first. "I'm sorry, sir. It's either that or I can move you to another room," Todd offered. "It hasn't been cleaned yet." "Fine," the old man grumbled, grabbing the room keys from Todd's hand. "I won't come here again." He barged out the door, his exhausted wife in tow. Todd saw Jane standing there. "Oh, shit. You don't got a leak too, do ya?" Jane managed half a smile. No, wondering if I could borrow a couple more aspirin? Todd let out a sigh of relief. "Oh, sure thing." Behind him, Jane saw Carly sitting in the office, playing a video game on a computer. Pink headphones on, totally engrossed. Jane stood watching the rain as Todd went to fetch the aspirin. She daydreamed for what felt like hours before Todd woke her up from her stupor. "There you go," he smiled. "If there's anything else, let me know." "Thanks," Jane said, quietly. Jane was halfway to her car when another vehicle came screeching into the parking lot as if chased by the hordes of hell. She jumped back as the car sped through, feeling the heat of the vehicle as it went by. Jane was sure it was going to crash right into the motel at the speed they were going. But the car came to a jarring stop. A woman burst out of the back seat, a wild look in her eye. "Oh shit! Oh shit!" she exclaimed. There was something wrong with the woman. Jane could make out blood on her hands and t-shirt. Jane's natural instincts took over and she rushed over to the woman. As Jane approached, she made out at least three other people in the car. "Miss, are you all right?" The woman's desperate, ashen face beamed. "Why, perfect, little darling." Her voice had a southern drawl to it. There was a flash of steel as Jane felt something sharp and hard pressing into her side. "Take us to your leader," the woman ordered. A burly man slid out of the car. Stubble covered his scarred cheek. His dead eyes burned holes through Jane. "My, my, what little fish have you caught, Sherry? She smells like a New York sissy bitch, Del baby." Sherry pulled Jane's head back with a handful of hair. Shit, Jane cursed her luck. If she'd just gone for her damn gun first. "Move," Sherry barked, pulling Jane toward reception. Jane caught a brief glimpse of two other men getting out of the car as Sherry pushed her inside. Todd stood there, dumbfounded. "What the fuck?" The man called Dell aimed a pistol at Todd. "Be cool, Tonto." Carly came out of the office, lowering her headphones. They forced the three to stand with their backs to the wall, Todd in the middle, with Carly and Jane flanking him. "Don't move, sweet pea," Dell smiled. "Got quite a party here." Two more men entered behind Dell and Sherry. Both were pale white and identical twins. "Who's in charge here?" Dell asked, his eyes flickering from Todd to Carly and Jane.
I am, Todd answered.
"Good. Who else is here? And don't lie." Todd hesitated. Dell snapped his fingers. "Chief?" the first albino man asked.
"Spider, if he doesn't answer, chop one of these bitches' big toes off," the second man answered.
"Right, boss."
"Every dang time," the first man grumbled. "Always forgets who's who."
"Shush, fly," Spider warned. "Work to do."
He pulled a large knife from his coat. A spiderweb design was carved on its hilt.
"Who'd like to donate a toe?"
Todd looked at Carly and Jane, and then Spider.
"Here, little piggy," Spider sang.
"Shit," Todd swore. "There's just an old couple, the McNabs from Wisconsin. They're in room 6. Dell patted Todd on the head.
"That wasn't so hard now, was it?"
"Shit," Todd repeated.
"Damn,"
Spider mumbled.
"Spider, fly, go, fetch," Dell ordered.
The albino twins left, Fly excitedly whooping.
"Spider is a little disappointed," Dell informed them. "He's got a bit of a thing for toes. He collects them," he smiled.
"And I like to indulge my gang's passions. Keeps them happy," Dell chuckled.
"You don't even want to know what turns his brother on."
Jane noticed Todd's gaze drift over to the rifle hanging on the wall behind the sign-in desk. Jane nudged Todd in the ribs, shaking her head. He'd never make it, at least not yet. Best to wait for an opening, provided, of course, that the rifle was even loaded. The door flew open as the twins dragged the couple in, the old man swearing up a storm.
"What the hell is the meaning of this?"
the old man asked.
"Well," Dell said, "this here is some pants-shitting fuckery."
"You're that degenerate on the news,"
Dell smiled.
"Guilty."
He did a little curtsy.
"I hope they fucking hang you."
"Harold, please," his wife begged.
"I hope they nail your damn depraved ass to a wall,"
Harold spit out.
"Decent people shouldn't have to put up with your kind of scum. I bet you blame mommy and daddy. Maybe you pissed the bed as a kid, got slapped around."
Jane saw something flash across Dell's eyes that chilled her to the core.
"Hurts, don't it?"
Dell calmly replied.
"What?"
the old man barked. In one swift motion, Dell pulled out a large pistol from his jacket and blew Harold's face off, redecorating the room and its occupants in bits of Harold.
"I said, motherfucker, hurts, don't it?"
Maggie started screaming and screaming as Harold twitched on the floor, before lying still. Sherry gave the woman a slap across the face. "Quiet, Grams!" Jane could feel the old man's blood running down her face. A bit of something stuck to her cheek. She flicked it off her, a part of that old man, murdered in front of them. It wasn't the first time she'd seen someone die in front of her. Jane felt her hands start to tremble. God, not now. The question is, what to do with the rest of you? Del pondered. He noticed the office behind the desk. Cool, we'll take the party there. Del fixed his steely eyes on Todd. Boy, got anything to eat around here? There's some candy and stuff. Todd pointed to the rack of snacks. But there's old man brains all over that shit. There's stuff at the house behind the motel. Excellent. Sherry, take the kid. Have him show you where everything is. And don't try anything, kid. Sherry can be a real demon. He laughed. Outside, thunder rumbled across the sky. Ladies, he motioned them towards the office. Jane and Carly helped their older fellow hostage up. Del admired the rifle on the wall. Nice. Might have to take that with me. He caught Jane looking at the rifle as they went by. Think you can make it? Jane helped Carly take Maggie into the office. No, guess not, Del said sadly. Jane took a deep breath. What do you want? She asked. What do we want? Del replied. What do we want? Puppy dogs and rainbows and milkshakes walking hand in hand on the beach. What do we want? What kind of question is that? He shrugged. How the hell should I know? If I knew, maybe I wouldn't have killed so many fucking people. He pulled out the pistol he was carrying. The silver of it caught the light. Seeming impossibly bright, he aimed it at Carly. I could kill you now, and I wouldn't feel a thing. Leave her alone, Jane spoke up. She's just a kid. That means she doesn't deserve to die any more than you? He swung his aim to Jane. Who says I don't? Jane answered, stone-faced. Del pulled the hammer back on the pistol. Jane felt sweat roll down her back as she stared at Del's smiling face. The phone on the desk rang, cutting through the silent tension, causing them all to jump. Del laughed, easing the hammer down. He motioned to Carly. Answer that. She picked up the receiver, slowly. Hello? After a moment, she set it back down again. Dinner's ready. Woo boy! Del stood. Macaroni and gravy time, kiddos! Don't go away. Weekly Spooky will be right back. They sat around the large wooden dinner table, like the Last Supper from hell. Sherry set out some plates and a large pot of spaghetti. Del sniffed the air. Yum, yum. Smells good, baby. Spider walked in, frowning. So this is where everybody is. Could have told me, instead of letting me wander around out there in the rain. Del and his gang sat, eating. Jane glanced down at her fork, then across the table at Del. Next to her, Carly was playing with her food. Eat up, Del ordered. Come on, you fucks! Sherry slaved over that food! Carly started to eat a little, but Jane sat like a statue. After Del was finished, he took out a small pill, gulping it down with his drink. So, boy, he said, looking down the table at Todd. What do you know about Black Ridge? Jane felt a sudden weight in her chest at the mention of that place. I've heard a lot of shit about it. Del sat back in the chair. Aliens and atomic tests and fucking time travel. I don't know, Todd answered. We hear that all the time around here. Nobody puts any stock in it. Brings the tourists, I guess.
No alien sightings? Come on! Dell said, disappointed.
Spider burped. I'm full. Sherry stood, gathering up some of the dirty dishes.
Well, then why don't you help me?
Sherry's request was cut off as one of the windows cracked. They all turned to look. All except for Sherry, who clutched her throat. She gasped as blood escaped through her fingers, running down her shirt. Dell stood trying and failing to catch Sherry before she fell face down on the table. There was a loud crack as a second window shattered. They all turned to look, all except for Sherry, who clutched her throat. She gasped as blood escaped through her fingers, running down her shirt. Dell stood trying and failing to catch Sherry before she fell face down on the table. There was a loud crack as a second window shattered.
Sniper!
Fly shouted as a bowl exploded on the table.
Down!
Dell ordered.
Shit!
He looked up at Sherry, lying on the table. Pulling his silver pistol out, he pointed it at a crouching Todd.
You got friends out there, boy? Somebody you didn't tell me about?
Todd shook his head. Another shot rang out, this one striking a wall.
Spider, fly! Sneak out! I'll draw their fire. See if you can find our friend's position, then flank the little shit!
The albino brothers hesitated, but Dell's stare told them it was a bad idea, and they were soon out the door. Dell turned to Jane and the others.
Come here!
He grabbed Jane by the arm.
I got a theory.
He pressed the gun to her neck.
Don't!
Carly jumped at him, only to be slapped across the face by Dell's free hand. Todd grabbed her, pulling her back.
I have a feeling they won't shoot you. Stand!
He ordered Jane, forcing her to turn around. They stood in front of the shattered window, Dell behind Jane.
Come on, you son of a bitch,
Dell muttered.
Let's see ya.
A scream erupted next to them, causing Dell to flinch. Todd and Carly lunged at Dell in his brief confusion. Carly stabbed Dell in the shin with a fork, then pushed him out the window, while Todd grabbed Jane, pulling her down just as a bullet cut through the air, an inch from where Jane had stood.
We have to get out of here.
Another shot ripped through the night, hitting the house. Jane looked at the old woman huddled in the corner.
You guys take her. Get out of here. Head for the highway. I'll buy you time.
But, Carly stammered.
Go. No time for but. Get going.
Jane hung close to the house, her back pressed to it, kitchen knife in hand. Make it back to her car, grab the revolver, kill Dell. She could run, but deep down Jane knew her destiny was here, in the desert. Lightning crackled across the sky as Jane reached her car. You are a killer, a voice whispered in her head. She found Spider first. What was left of him anyway. His large knife with the web hilt was still in his hand. Part of the blade looked melted. What could have done this to a man and affected the blade like that?
Oh my God!
A girl gasped. Jane turned to see Carly standing there.
I told you to go!
I couldn't. Todd and the old lady got away and I came back for you.
Let's go.
No. I have to get him.
Why?
Carly asked. Jane looked down. There were two sets of footprints, headed further into the desert. One of them had to be Dell.
I just do, Jane answered.
Carly screamed. Fly stood there, twirling his butterfly knife.
What did you do, bitch?
Before Jane could utter a word, he came at her. She fired twice, catching him in the chest and arm. Fly lay there, in the sand. Jane kicked the knife away from his reach, as he coughed up blood. She left him there to die as he coughed up blood. She left him there to die with his brother. Carly followed after her as Jane tracked the footprints. As they reached the summit of a nearby rock embankment, Carly looked up at the sky. Never seen a storm like this. Why is the sky red? I don't know, Jane answered, as she gasped for breath. But deep inside, Jane knew the answer. It was the end. Down the other side they went. At the bottom, Jane picked up on the tracks again. Still two sets, headed off into the desert. It started as a red hovering ball on the horizon, but as they approached it, it grew. The air felt thick with electricity. A figure took shape at the sphere's center, slim, wearing some kind of flight suit and helmet. A dark visor hid the being's face. Jane could hear a voice coming from within the sphere. She moved closer, feeling the hair on her arms burn from the intense heat radiating from it. Interference too strong. This is a warning. Don't go through. Past can't be changed. Paradox. With a blinding flash, the figure was gone.
What the fuck was that? Carly cried. What is happening?
I wish I knew, Jane said. Go back, find Todd. I have to stop that maniac. She felt the gun in her hand. Only a few bullets left. One had Dell's name written on it. The laughter. Over the howl of the wind, she heard it, recognized it. She stood, newly invigorated. Like a beacon, she followed the laughter through the storm. Then, after a few minutes of blindly marching toward the maelstrom, it died away, leaving a sand-battered Jane in its wake. A small rock landed at her feet.
There you are, Dell laughed. We've been waiting for you.
Jane looked up. On jagged outcropping of rocks, Dell sat, like a medieval lord on his throne. Battered as he was, she took aim, ready to finish him.
Gonna shoot? He asked. That's what I like about you. When you fart, you don't have to shit to back it up, he laughed. But you're too late.
He took his hand away from his side, revealing a red stain. Who? Jane asked. He laughed hysterically.
You did! He popped another pill in his mouth. The things I've seen out here,
Dell stood, raising his hands like a conductor.
All around us. The residue. They set off a bomb here, so powerful it scared them. Bam!
Jane felt a shiver run down her spine. Somehow, she knew he was right.
You were drawn here, just like me, Dell said. Black Ridge. It called to you. With glorious purpose.
Jane felt the static grow louder and louder within her. It was calling.
Come on, he beckoned her up. Truce,
Dell smiled.
Want to see it?
He reached out his hand to her. Jane ignored it, climbing up beside him on her own. She followed him nervously, keeping one eye on Dell and one on the rocks as they climbed down.
Magnificent, isn't it? Dell asked. A staircase to the heavens.
Standing there in a long stretch of flat ground was a door, which was decidedly not a staircase.
It's just like the basement stairs I used to sit on, Dell stated. Mama used to lock me down there when she was in her bottles. Otherwise, something could have gotten broken. I'd sit there in the dark with a crack of light from under the door is my only comfort.
Jane didn't say anything, only half listening to Dell. That door resembled
It wants us, Del said. To pass through. The door, Jane thought, looked just like the bedroom door. Their bedroom door. The one she went through every day to check on Alan. When he wouldn't leave the bed, when he couldn't walk. I see it in your eyes, girl, Del said, touching her arm, making Jane flinch. Pain. There's a storm in you, girl. Just like me. Kill him, Jane thought. It would be so easy. Easy as Alan. No, not now. For so long, I thought that pain inside me made me a hunter, a shark. But no, I was so wrong. What I was doing was nothing. Small potatoes. No, no. I was born to murder everyone. He put his hands on Jane's shoulders. And you're gonna help me. She pulled away from him. You're a psychopath. Hey! Del slapped her. Never say that. Jane pointed the gun at him. Enough! Can you do it? Del asked. See the life ebb from your victim's body as they look you in the eyes? Jane let out a tired laugh. I killed my husband. He was paralyzed. He begged me every day to do it. Called me weak because I wouldn't. Tears rolled down her cheeks. It was too much after a while. His guilt, anger, hate, disgust. So I went in there one morning after a night of tears and smothered him. She pulled the hammer of the gun back. Killing you ain't shit to me. The ground started to rumble and shake, making Jane stumble back and pitching Del forward toward her. He grabbed the gun, trying to pull it from her hands. The gun went off. The bullet went wild, hitting a rock. Jane kicked at Del as he wrenched the gun from her hand, knocking the gun from his hands and sending it tumbling into a growing fissure in the ground. Del leapt on Jane, his hands wrapped around her throat. Jane gasped for air as he straddled her. She clawed at his face with her fingers, pressing one of her fingers into his left eye. He howled in pain, letting go of her. Del caught her hand with his mouth. He bit into her pinky finger, nearly severing it, causing Jane to scream in pain. Lashing out, she kicked him between the legs, causing him to fall to the ground. Jane scrambled away from Del, holding her injured hand. The ground started to rumble, coughing and wheezing in pain. Del started to laugh, hysterically. Death is here! Death is here! Jane looked up from her bleeding hand to see an ominous shadow standing on the rock, holding the rifle from the motel office. The figure jumped down from the rocks, wearing a black duster that billowed in the wind. Half of the figure's face and one hand were bandaged, the face aged by turmoil. Yet Jane could tell who she was staring at was herself. It ends here, other Jane said, raising the rifle. Neither of you can go through that door. Believe me, I know. She aimed at Jane, then Del, then Jane again. No! Del roared. You can't take away my destiny! He leapt up, charging at the other Jane. She swung the butt of the rifle at him. The wild man ducked it. Other Jane kneed him in the face, knocking him back. The ground pitched underneath them as the earth rumbled again, this time stronger than before. Jane fell to the ground as a large fissure ripped from the desert floor, separating Jane and Del from other Jane. Del, near the edge of the fissure, lost his footing as the ground crumbled away. He reached out to save himself, grabbing Jane's leg, pulling her toward the gaping wound in the earth. Mama! Del screamed. Save me! Jane frantically kicked him in the head until he let go of her. Fuck you! Del madly grabbed at the earth as it crumbled around him. No, Mama! Not the darkness again! I'll be good! And with that, he lost hold and tumbled into the chasm. Jane knelt there, catching her breath. Her double aimed the rifle at her from the opposite side. As her heartbeat thundered in her ears, Jane felt it. That humming. It was calling her. Jane stood, as if hearing it herself. The other Jane called out, "Don't do it!" She took aim. Jane stood before the door. Its call was unbearable now. Its energy radiated out toward her, making the hairs on the back of her neck stand up.
"No!" Other Jane screamed. "The past can't be changed! I tried! I tried!"
She squeezed the trigger. "Forgive me." Click. Empty.
"Whatever you think you can change by going through, it won't work. It can't be rewritten. Time is splintering."
Jane reached for the door handle. She hesitated. Maybe the other one failed, but she wouldn't. She could fix it. Jane's hand gripped the handle. She could do it. She wouldn't fail. Jane turned the handle and hesitated for a moment. What if?
Did I tell you that would deliver, or did I tell you that would deliver? That was such a fun story, and you may have noticed it was a bit on the long side. Well, Weekly Spooky is now opening ourselves up to some longer stories. Oh yeah, that means you're going to be getting a lot more content in the coming months. So keep an eye out for that. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did reading it, because I decided to go, I don't know if you picked up on this, but I kind of went for like a Bill Paxton from Near Dark. That was kind of the voice I was going for. Had a lot of fun portraying the Dell character, and I just really adored doing that story, if I'm being honest. So speaking of things I adore, if you want to show us support and make sure we keep bringing the spooky on the weekly, go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get a bonus episode every month, behind-the-scenes content, videos, and so much more. Please consider joining. It really helps us out. We have 95 backers, and I want to see 100. And speaking of Patreon, I want to say an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit more to hear their names on the show, and they are Megan Hua, Julia Kirsch, Christopher Sullivan, Brent McCullough, Gino Lyons, Steve King, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all so much for the support. It really does mean the world to me, and it's how we keep this show going and going. So before I go, I want to mention there's a lot of cool stuff coming to the Weekly Spooky feed, especially a Strickfield-themed Valentine's Day story, and an entire free audiobook will be coming in the month of February. So stay tuned, stay spooky. For myself, for my executive producer Rob Fields, my producer Dan Wilder, and my composer Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later. And believe me, I can't wait.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me. Ha 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 ha.